How are we doing, Fairhaven Church? Great to see you. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, we're really, really glad that you're here. You've been welcomed by our hosts and our campus pastors. I want to say hello to Springboro to the south and Northmont to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics, and all of you that are right here in Centerville. Great to see your faces. For those of you that are regular, look out and recognize a lot of your faces. If you're a guest with us, we're so glad that you would join us today. We're in a series, actually, so you came in week five if you're a guest with us, a series called Building Blocks, where literally we're studying the same nine verses for 6 weeks in a row, if you can believe that. And so we're going to do that again today and the next week. But in 2 weeks, as you've already heard, I'm going to be starting a series on prayer. And throughout the entire month of September, we're going to be talking about what prayer really is about and what does it look like in our lives and why does God ask us to do that and is there any change that can happen with it and all those kinds of things. And so I hope you'll join us during the month of September as we talk about prayer and look all through Scripture actually about what prayer is. What I do want to tell you, though, 2 weeks from now is a challenge, and that is we're going to start 2 weeks from now on a Sunday. We're going to challenge you to pray for 28 solid days. I'm going to ask you to take a challenge where all of us together will pray every single day for 28 days, starting September the 4th all the way through the end of the month for 4 Sundays, 4 weeks in a row. I don't know if you're a person that prays every day or every other day, what that looks like for you. The challenge is what would God do inside of us and as a church as we pray every single day for 28 days? And so I'm going to challenge you as a church because I think God could do some amazing things in our lives, first of all, and then in our community as a family, and then in our city as well. So hopefully you'll take the challenge. If you want to do that and you're prepared to do that even perhaps today, you can go ahead and text the word challenge to 32,000. We'll answer a few questions with you and get you started. We're going to send every day a daily devotion to you by text or by email or both if you want, and a video that goes along with it. We're preparing this right now so that every single day it'll just prompt you and remind you about the significance of prayer in our lives. And so hopefully you'll be willing to take that challenge. So just type the word challenge, 32,000, and you'll get registered for that. That's why I want to start talking about it 2 weeks in advance. So give you the time to process and prepare for this in your life. But today we are going to continue on in Building Blocks, where we're looking at what Peter has to say. And Peter is the author. Peter's at the very end of his life. I think you know, you don't have to go to church for very long before you know that Peter is one of Jesus's best friends. Therefore, he knows the most, or one of the people that know the most about Jesus. And in these nine verses that we've been reading, Peter is very, very specific. That's why we're spending 6 weeks, because there's so much in these nine verses about our life and our faith and what it means to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The truth of the matter is, I think you know this, but let's just state it up front, that when you begin a relationship with God, that's the starting line. That's not the finish line. Right, church? That's the starting line. And so Peter wants to talk to us about how if you're in a relationship with God, there's things that ought to be happening in your life, primarily that you become more like Jesus. And that's exactly what he's talking about in these nine verses. And so today, what he's going to do is he's going to give us a promise and he's going to give us a warning. He'll start with the warning and then he'll end with the promise, but we'll look at both of those. But I think that you and I, as we begin reading and looking at this again for the fifth week, I want you to know right up front that if Peter makes a comment that looks something like this, would it interest you? Because Peter says this in verse 10. He says, "You will never fall." Now, right away, we're like, "I don't know about that." Right? I mean, maybe he's using hyperbole. Maybe he's, he's exaggerating. He uses these words. These are not my words. This is Peter. The apostle Peter says, "You will never fall." And never is a big word. What does he mean by that? And is it even possible? We'll find that out today as we journey through this. And at the very end, I'm going to give you one thing really that Peter is saying here to us in this promise and in this warning. So grab your Bibles with me, if you wouldn't mind, or a device that you might be having with you. And let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter is, interestingly enough, right after 1 Peter in your Bibles. And so it shouldn't be that hard to find, but if you've got a device, you can find it. 2 Peter chapter 1, we start in verse 3. We've been reading these same verses for the last 5 weeks. I'm going to read it again, and we'll take a look at this together. Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, you got it? Verse 3, we'll take a look at it. His divine power, that's God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Peter right away says that everything you need, if you want to have a life with God, which is godliness, that God has given you everything you need by his power inside of us and by his promises all through Scripture. That's pretty good news as we start off here. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Peter is essentially saying that if you understand that I've given you the power and the promises, you can become like Jesus. And isn't that the idea? That if you're in a relationship with God, you become like Jesus, as Jesus lived on earth, perfect, sinless, and glorified God in all that he did. And I want that, and I'm sure you do as well, because you're here. And so as Peter is talking here, he says that we can become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So right off the bat, Peter says a couple things here that we just want to rehearse for all of us here. And that's this, that if you're going to be closer to Jesus, or if you're going to look like you're going to be following Jesus, or the closer you get to Jesus, here's what Peter's saying: the more you will hate that what you used to love. Which is really interesting, because there's some things in my life today that I hate about what I did that I used to love. Does that make sense to you? And it's interesting how God does that in our life. He helps us to overcome things in our life that we loved at one point, but now we hate because we don't want them into our life. We don't want them in our lives. We don't want those character qualities in our lives. We don't want to behave that way. We don't want to act that way in our relationships and with our friends, in our work, and so forth and so on. And so it's interesting that the closer you get to Jesus, the more you become like Jesus, the more you will hate that which you used to love. And it's just kind of an interesting exercise for you to look back in your life and say, are there things in my life that I used to love because of our nature, and that today you don't? You don't want them in your life. You want nothing to do with it. You want to push it out because you know it's not good or best for you. That's just how God has designed us. That's what Peter's saying here in the beginning. Secondly, he says, the closer you get to Jesus, the more this world will not work for you. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that the world's values will be different than yours. The world's ideals will be different than yours. The world's morality will not be the morality that you have in your life or I have in my life, because God helps us to understand. He created us. Therefore, he knows what is best for us in our life, in every area of our life. And so the world's morality won't be that interesting to you or to me. The priorities of the world will be different. And all that we see all around us. And so Peter is right away saying, the closer you get to Jesus, the more this world will not work for you. And lastly, before we jump into really what we're gonna look at today, Peter says this: the closer you get to Jesus, the more people without Jesus won't understand you. It's really interesting how if you really wanna live a life of godliness in your life and you wanna pursue God in your life, there'll be people who may not understand with that. Especially if you're here and you're a college student. This is the beginning of college and high school and elementary school. And if you're here and you're a college student at UD or Wright State or Sinclair or Central State or Cedarville, whatever college you might be here, we're glad you're here. And we recognize that you have a very, very tough job. Would you agree, church? We need to be praying for our college students and our high school students who deal with so much, because I think it's on the college campus and the high school campus that it makes it so difficult to live out your faith, because there will be people that don't understand, and not only understand, they'll say things, and it's very, very difficult. And so this is exactly what Peter is saying here. And then he gets to verse 5. Let's take a look at verse 5. He begins to list out these building blocks for us that we've been talking about for these last 5 weeks. He says this: for this reason, because you want to become more like Jesus and because you want to be closer to who Jesus is, for this reason, make every effort, based on God's power in your life, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge, self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So before we get into looking at this warning that Peter gives to us and the promise that he gives to us, I think we need to rehearse these building blocks. Verse 8, he calls them qualities. So even though we've been calling this series building blocks, Peter refers to them as spiritual qualities in our life. There's 8 of them. And if you want, here's what I want to do with you. I want to walk through these briefly and just define each one briefly, because that's what this series has really all been about, is trying to define them so you and I can understand them. And then here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you, as you listen to these 8, see if God taps you on the shoulder and says, you might want to pay attention to that one. So it's already happened to me because I've been studying this for a little while, and so I know mine. Like, I've been thinking through this week and literally studying this. God was like, okay, that's the one I need you to focus on right now. So I'm hoping that will happen for you in all of our campuses, those of you that are online with us, wherever you might be. I have been praying that God would tap you on the shoulder and say, that's the one I want you to pay attention to. So that, verse 8, you don't become unfruitful and ineffective in your life if you want to be a follower of God. Pretty amazing, right? So here are these 8 qualities. Let's take a look at them. I'm going to list them out for you, and you just listen in. You look at them, and you just listen and see if God taps you somewhere on the shoulder and says, okay, that's the one. That's yours. That's the one you need to think about today as we look at this promise and as we look at this warning. The first one is faith. What's faith? Faith is really trusting God's word, that God has laid everything out for us, that if you're gonna be a follower of God and you're gonna have faith, faith is simply trusting God's word. Faith, by the way, is something that God gives to you. It's not something that you grab a hold of. He gives us faith, and then that faith in your life is trusting God in everything that he says. If God says it, that's good enough for me, right? And so that's what we're gonna look at. Faith is one of them. That's the first one. Second one is goodness, or in our Bibles today, as I read it to you, it's virtue. Virtue is the same thing as goodness. Goodness is defined being morally right and helpful. Goodness is helpful, where you may be helpful in your life with people that you know, people you don't know, people at work, people in your neighborhood, people in your school, in your classroom, the cubicle across the way, whatever it might be. Morally right, meaning that you look at what God has to say so that morally you can live out your right, because it only makes sense if we understand that. And so goodness may be where God is tapping you today. Number 3, knowledge. Knowledge is discernment and discretion. How many of you would agree, don't raise your hand, but how many of you agree that we need discernment in life? Like, when you go through life, you need God to help you, or at least I do. I need God to help me. Here's the direction I want you to go. Here's the things that I don't want you to say. Here's the things that I want you to think about and feel about. And so that we need discretion based on God's word. We need discretion and we need discernment. Discernment is knowing that we should do this or not do that. God, by his spirit, wants to help us with that. That's pretty incredible that the God of the universe wants to do that for you each and every day. Here's the next spiritual quality, self-control. That's getting a grip on yourself, making sure that something in your life does not have a grip, whether it's a habit or an addiction in your life or an attitude that just is wearing you out, or a situation or an incident in your life that you just can't move beyond. Self-control, maybe God is tapping you today on the shoulder with self-control. The next spiritual quality is this, steadfastness, meaning that we live for the long haul. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, listen up, students. If you're a high school student or college student, you might need to be reminded about this. And the rest of us need to be reminded as well, to be honest with you. Think about it this way. The end of our story, if you're a follower of Jesus, is fantastic. It's fantastic. I mean, there's gonna be a day where there is no pain, there's no knee pain like I have right now in my right leg, there's no neck pain, there's no relational problems, there's no money problems, there's none of that at the end. So we know the end of the story. We got a long haul here, and God wants us to have the long haul in view. That's called steadfastness. And maybe you're so taken up with what's happening today, and Peter's gonna talk a little bit about that. Maybe you're so overwhelmed with what's happening today that you miss the long haul here. That's steadfastness. Another spiritual quality is godliness, which is reverent respect, where you respect God in everything that he says, and you want reverently to follow him like a child who needs a heavenly father who will give instruction and love and give that a boys and, you know, you're awesome and you're so beautiful. And our heavenly father wants to do that in our lives, godliness. And then brotherly affection. Paul laid this out last week, did a fabulous job, where we have love for other Christ followers. How many of you agree with me that if we can't get this right here, there's no way the world's gonna understand? We gotta get this right here. We don't have to agree on a lot of things. We can have different opinions, but we have to love one another in a way that shows the world that we do have brotherly affection. And then the last one is the apex. I mean, it's the top, it's the pinnacle, love, and that's selfless care for anybody and everyone in our lives. Those are the characters, hopefully, that God has tapped you on the shoulders in one of those eight categories, and one of those eight spiritual qualities, because Peter is gonna now give us a warning, and then he's going to give us a promise. So let's take a look at the warning and see if we can unpack it. It's in verse 9 and 10. So hopefully your Bibles are still open or your devices are powered up. Let's take a look at verse 9 and let's see the warning that he gives. Let's see if we can understand it. And then verse 10, he gives us the promise. Look at verse 9. For whoever, that includes all of us, for whoever lacks these qualities, these eight things that I just laid out for us, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he or she is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So in verse 9 here, Peter lays out two warnings for us that if you're going to ignore God's tap on your shoulder, if you're gonna ignore these qualities in your life, there's gonna be an impact to you. And he says that whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that they can become blind and they forgot that we've been cleansed from all the wrong in our lives. Peter's telling us two things. Let's take a look at it and see if we can understand it. The first is this. Peter's saying that if we lack these qualities, we will fixate on the one thing in front of us at the expense of everything else. You will fixate, because isn't that what nearsighted is? Nearsighted is saying that you can't see beyond, like right here. Nearsighted means that you can see near, but you can't see far. And so you're so fixated on that which is right in front of you, the circumstance that you may be dealing with, or the individual that you may be dealing with, or the, you know, something happening in your life. You're so focused on that which is right in front of you that you lose sight of everything else. Is it possible for us to be so overwhelmed by something in our life that nothing else gets attention? Is that possible? Yeah, it happens all the time. And Peter's warning us here that nearsightedness will turn to blindness. And he says that if you fixate on the one thing in front of you at the expense of everything else, that's gonna be a problem for you if we lack these qualities. Fixate, let me tell you what fixate means. Fixate means where you're overly focused on something, where you literally can't get it out of your mind. When you can't get something out of your mind, it means that you and I can be fixated on that. And Peter is giving us a warning here. He says, be careful that if you don't think about these qualities, these spiritual qualities, you're gonna fixate, you're gonna have nearsightedness in your life. When I read a book or when I'm working on the computer, I have to wear glasses. Part of it's because of my age, but the other part of it is that I have astigmatism. Astigmatism, I think this is how it goes, if I've heard the doctor correctly, it means that I can see 20/20, but my eyes are not aligned, and because they're not aligned, everything's just a hair blurry. Like all of you right now, you're just a hair blurry. I can see you, it's okay, but you're just a hair blurry. I'm not nearsighted or farsighted. Peter's saying that if these qualities in our life are not increasing, then you're gonna become very, very nearsighted in your life, and you're gonna be so overwhelmed with what's happening in your life today. Now, there's two outcomes for this. Think of this through with me a little bit. The first is that you'll have trouble with perspective in life. Trouble with perspective. Have any of you ever had a cracked windshield in your car? Anybody? I've had it like, I think two times, maybe three times in my life. And I'll never forget a couple of years ago, many years ago actually now, where I was driving along and a rock came up and hit the windshield of my car and it was like a spider. I mean, just crack all over the place. And it took me a little while. It was, you know, not as easy as the commercial says, you know, where they come up and they put a suction cup and it all heals and, right? Probably works, but that's not what happened to me. And so I had this huge spider in there, and it was so distracting. I mean, I remember that until I was able to get it fixed, because I had to make an appointment and all of that, that it was so distracting that every once in a while, I kind of got myself in a situation where I could hardly see beyond, you know, the crack that was right there, on beyond what was right in front of my eyes. And this is the image that I want you to have in your mind when Peter's telling us this. You see, when you fixate on only that which is in front of you and miss everything else, what happens in life is that we lose perspective in life. Perspective. I was raised in Indonesia, and I went to boarding school, and there's a lot of debate on whether boarding school is, you know, good or bad or difficult. I loved it. It was like, you know, summer camp all year long. And when I went to elementary school, in boarding school, there were three of us in my class for about 4 years. Chrissy, Tammy, and myself. So there were two girls and myself in elementary school. And we were together for many, many years. They're friends even to this day, actually, Chrissy and Tammy. And they scarred me, actually, in life. And here's the reason why. Because the class that I hated the most, or the part of my school day that I hated the most, was recess. And the reason why recess was so traumatic for me is because if you take a good look at any playground, a playground's used to have, they don't have it now because of safety purposes, I guess. Have you ever seen a seesaw or a teeter-totter? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you can guess how many people typically play on a seesaw or teeter-totter? Yep, you guessed it, two. Tammy and Chrissy. On the playground, when we went out for recess, there were two swings that were there in the playground. And the two swings were there, and so guess who was on the swings? You guessed it, Tammy and Chrissy. So I just sat there and watched them. I watched them teeter-totter, I watched them swing. And then we had one more thing on the playground, and that was a tetherball. Anybody know what tetherball is? It's like this round cement, had a pole in the middle, and you're supposed to hit the ball and wrap it around the pole, and if it goes around the, you know, from your side, then you win. And the only two that played the tetherball were, you got it, Tammy and Chrissy. I mean, it was traumatic for me. Now, I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I just want you to be mad with me. It was horrible. I mean, recess was terrible. And to this day, you know, I think back about those moments being on the playground. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, a teeter-totter, a seesaw, this is exactly what Peter is talking about. That if we're not careful, we'll lose perspective in life. And all of a sudden, well, we'll have a Sunday. And we'll have a Wednesday. We'll have a small group. And we'll have Saturday night. And we just go through life and we just kind of teeter-totter back and forth. And Peter is saying that if these qualities, these eight of them, are not increasing in your life, or mine for that matter, that we're going to lose perspective in life. That's what he means by the near sight. That's what he means by fixating on that which is in front of us. There's a second thing that I think we can help to see this, and that's that we'll fail to see God in the moment. See, when you have something going on in your life and it's just like this, it's really hard to see God in the moment because you're just so overwhelmed and fixated on this thing, this situation, this circumstance, this relationship, your finances, whatever it might be. It's really difficult. When I played soccer, we traveled quite a bit. I love the sport of soccer. If you're a guest, I played soccer my whole life into college and afterwards, and had a chance to play at a very high level, and it was really a lot of fun. And one of the best games that I remember in my soccer career was in Hong Kong. We were playing in Hong Kong, and we were playing a Chinese team there, and we were in the Hong Kong stadium, seats about 40,000 people. We had about 25,000 people that were there in the stadium, and it was a really fun game. And I remember starting the game, and it was really fun playing, and I hurt my leg, and so the coach subbed me out, as he should have. He should have subbed me out. I was, you know, my leg was hurting, and we wanted to win the game. So I'm sitting on the bench, and one of my best friends on the team scored an unbelievable goal. If you love soccer, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just so pretty and shot so well, had a nice curve to it right in the top corner. It was a gorgeous shot. So I'm sitting on the bench and I'm right there looking at this whole thing. And I said out loud, I said, wow, we are playing good. Now the coach, before he was a coach, he was an English major in college. So he says down the row, it's well. You're supposed to say, were playing, you know it, well. So I said, well, we're playing good. I didn't go over so good with my coach. I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. I just thought that's what came out of my mouth. And so he comes walking down. I thought, oh, I'm done. I'm on the bench for the rest of my life. And he came down, true story, he came down and he knelt down like this. And what he said is why I remember this story, by the way. He looks at me and he says, you're never good in a moment. You're good in a season. Yeah, coach was right. Isn't that true in our spiritual life? See, if you can't see God in the moment, you won't see him in a season. So Peter's saying that if we don't get this right and if we are not growing in these spiritual qualities, we're gonna lose track and we're not gonna see God in the moment and we certainly won't see him in the season. That's what Peter is saying to us here, and we need to make sure that we understand this. If we fixate on the one thing in front of us, it will be at the expense of everything else. And then he says, look at verse 9 again. He says, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. He being you and I. That if we're not increasing in these qualities, these spiritual qualities, it's easy for you and I to forget that we're forgiven. That's a big deal. Church, that's huge. Because one of the things that creates my identity and yours, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're forgiven. That's part of our identity. And so what he's saying here is this. If you're a note taker, you may want to jot this down. If we lack these qualities, we'll lose sight that we have been forgiven. Maybe if you're a note taker, you may want to write below this, you'll have an identity crisis. An identity crisis. I have an identity crisis all the time. Because my name is David Smith. Nobody believes that. I mean, I've been arrested falsely. I have had my accounts frozen falsely. I've had people show up at my door falsely, you know, accusing me of this or that. I mean, I can't hardly even, 3 weeks ago, my wife went to visit her parents who were struggling a little bit with health. And so it was just my son and I. And I said, son, what do you want for dinner? And he says, let's get some wings. I said, absolutely, I'm in. So I called the place and, you know, when you call them, they say, can you give us a good phone number? And I gave them my phone number. And then they said, how many wings you want? I said, I don't know, 2,000 wings is fine, you know, for my son and I. And so it wasn't 2,000 wings, but it was a lot of wings. And so I said, yeah. And so she said, okay. And that was the order. And she hung up. 15 minutes later, she calls back. And she said, is this David Smith? I said, yes, it is. And she said, did you order this many wings? I said, yes, ma'am, we did. She goes, oh, okay, just checking. She hung up. 10 minutes later, she called back and she said, can I talk to David Smith, please? And I said, this is David. And she said, did David order any wings? And I go, you don't believe me, do you? She goes, well, we're just checking. I said, it's me. I promise you, I'm coming in very soon. It's me. I mean, I have an identity crisis all the time. And Peter's warning us that if you're not increasing in these spiritual qualities, you're gonna have an identity crisis. 2 weeks ago, if you were here, I mentioned that my wife and I disagree on movies. She loves Hallmark and I don't. And I got so many emails from many of you, like telling me the movies I should be watching and she should be watching. It was incredible. I said to my wife, we got movies for the rest of our years. That's awesome. It's great, you know. So just for your information, one of the movies that I love, actually, or a series, is the Jason Bourne series. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? It's PG-13, and it's hard to, you know, promote movies at church, I guess. But the premise of this is written by Robert Ludlum, who's an author, and so he wrote the book, and then they did movies, and they did five of them, the Bourne Identity, the Bourne Supremacy, the Bourne Ultimatum, the Bourne Legacy, and then Jason Bourne. And I think they're over. I'm not sure, but I think they're over. The premise of the movie is that this guy, Jason Bourne, who's this action hero, and he's a highly trained guy. And in fact, in the first movie, if you saw the series, you remember that, I mean, he's so good that he won a battle with a ballpoint pen. I mean, that's a man right there who can win a battle with a ballpoint pen. But the premise of the movie, and the whole series actually, is about a guy who doesn't know who he is. He's lost his identity. And the whole series is about how he's trying to determine because he wants to know who he is. So let me tell you, church, who you are, who I am. Because if we're going to increase in these spiritual qualities in our life, we need to be reminded today of who we are. This is what the Bible says. We are servants of Christ, Galatians chapter 1. We are crucified with Christ, Galatians chapter 2. Goes on to say, we are children of God. You're a son or a daughter of the King. We are heirs with Christ of everything. You get to inherit everything of what Jesus has. We are free. We are led by the Spirit of God. We have the power of God in us, which gives us the ability to live out our faith every single day of our life. And I could go on and on. That is our identity. And Peter is saying that if you're not increasing in these qualities, you're going to have an identity crisis. I think he's right. That's why then he goes on to give us a promise. Take a look at verse 10. It's the last verse we'll look at. He says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent. In other words, don't put this off. Be all the more diligent to confirm your calling. That's the invitation that God has. And the election, meaning that God chose you. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Peter says this, and some of us are still having a hard time believing it. He says, don't put this off. Practice these and you will never fall. What does he mean there? Well, you know Peter's story, don't you? Remember, Peter is the one that denied Christ 3 times. And he went back and Jesus forgave him, and that never was lost on him. Kind of like a soccer game in Hong Kong. Kind of like a phone call from a wings place. It's not lost on us when we have these situations and circumstances in our life. And it was not lost on Peter. And at the very end of his life, because in verse 14, if you want to, you can drop down and you can see it, Peter knows he's going to die. And in AD 64, Peter dies at the hands of the emperor Nero, a brutal death. Some people say he was crucified upside down. We don't know that for a fact. We just know that he was a martyr because he was not going to deny Christ anymore. Here's what that means. If you want to jot this down, here's what it means. Peter is saying, you won't make the same mistake again. If you grow in these qualities, you will not make the same mistake again. Peter was not going to deny Christ again, and he tells us the good news, the promise, that if you're growing in these qualities, you will not fall. You will not make this mistake again if you're growing in these qualities. In fact, you could put this whole message together in this one statement. Take a screenshot. Here it is. If you're not growing in these qualities, it will lead to crippling doubt. So Peter is saying, look at these 8 things. Is God tapping you on the shoulder in some way today with one of these spiritual qualities? They're just that important. Would you bow with me for just a second? Let's just ask God to meet us as we've looked at these 9 verses again. God, I just pray that you'd be with us today. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that you paid the ultimate cost, death. Thank you that our identity is found in you. Thank you, Father, that as we look to you, that we can see that you're in every season of our life, even the difficult ones, because you're God and you care. And I pray for all my friends that are here and all of our campuses, those that are online around the country. I pray, Father, that you would meet us today and that you would bring to our minds one of these qualities where we need to invest in them, and the power of God will help us, in order that we would grow, in order that we can see our week and our lives, Lord, flourish because of who you are. I thank you. Thank you for the honesty that we have in meeting here and being able to talk about these difficult yet real things in our lives. We thank you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.